an interview for the Shoe Workers Oral History Project at Museum LA. The date is May 14th, 2008. I'm at the home of Betty Dutille, and this is Andrea Lumdia. Did I pronounce your name correctly? Mm-hmm. And how do you spell your name?
D-U-T-I-L.
And where and when were you born?
I was born in Pittsfield, Massachusetts in 1940.
Did you grow up there?
No. After my father died, we moved here.
So your mom moved to the Lewiston area?
Yeah.
And what did your mother do for work?
She worked in the mills, and then she worked at the Bonafide Mill, where they made floor linoleum. She worked in nursing homes and Hillcrest. And that's where she retired from, in the Hillcrest.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
None. I'm the only brat in the family.
So you were here in the, what age were you when you moved here?
I was about a year and a half.
Oh, so very young.
Yeah.
So you were here in the 40s and 50s mm-hmm. and 60s. What was the Lewiston community like at that time?
Well, in the 40s, I lived here in Lewiston, but I grew, as a kid, I lived a lot in Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had to work, so she had me kept by, and she wanted older people so I wouldn't get in trouble, I guess. But then I went to Market Home. Okay. So I was there for 4 years.
Yeah.
So it was quiet. It's not like it is today.
Right.
And
you said, how old were you when you first started working in the shoe shop?
I was 16. I was 16. We had to have a worker's permit. I remember that. I had to go to the city hall to get a worker's permit. I was 16.
And how many hours a week did you work at that age?
We worked 8 hours. Sometimes we work on Saturday mornings, but we worked 8 hours a day.
And which shoe shop was it that you began working?
Shapiro.
And where was that?
It was on Gough Street. What's there now? I think there's I don't remember over there.
Yeah.
It's over there now.
Yeah.
It must be. They probably tore it down. I don't know. I go by there a lot, but I don't.
Right.
I don't look.
Now, what different jobs did you have when you first started?
When I first started, I used to clean the soles, and I did some cementing.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't work on machineries at that age, so it had to be things that we did by hand, like cleaning the soles or the cementing. You used to just put the sole in cement and then put them on. I don't remember. It's been so long. I don't remember.
Now, did you stay there for long? Or?
I stayed there for about a year. And then when it starts slowing, the last ones were out first. You know, when it slowed.
Oh,
it slowed down in the slow time. So, and I went to work at Hillcrest. And I was there for 10 years, and I went back to the shoe shops.
Okay.
And I pretty much closed every one of them.
Yeah. So what were some of the other jobs? Where did you go after Hillcrest?
I went to they made sneakers. It's up by the airport up in Knob, and
that's the one I can't think of. Fancy?
No.
No, nothing. Not Falcon.
No.
Cohan. There's Main Shoe, Melvy, Allen Edmonds.
No, they were way up in not far from the airport.
Huh.
They made sneakers.
I'll have to find out which one that is. But anyway, what did you do in that position? Did you have the same type of job?
I started by tacking the sneaker. They had to tack the top to the inner sole so they could go around. They called it the Tamborian operation. They would go around to fit the soles to the top to the soles, uh-huh. And then they would put cement them, and then put the outsoles on. That's what I started doing, and I did Tamborian operation after that. It was a machine, so I just went around the.
So did you get paid by piecework or by the
no,
hour?
No, we were paid by the hour. Yeah. We had to do so many a day, and if you made that quota, then you could work. They make you make sometimes a few hundreds before more than what the quota was, and then they pay us, I think, more for that. But we never worked 8 hours because we always put in our quota before. So we'd leave around 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was a good job.
That was nice. Did you have a lot of friends that also worked in the shoe shop? Or did you become friends from your time there?
Well, when I started there, it was a friend of mine. We both went looking for a job. I made a lot of friends in the shoe shops. Mm-hmm. My close friends, some of them got married and left town, so. But the one I went to work there was, she was one of my closest friends, and we grew up together, so. Mm-hmm. But I did make good friends.
Did you do things together, people in the shoe shops do things together outside of work? Were there like bowling leagues or baseball?
Bowling league, yeah. I bowled for about 15 years. We were a group of people. We joined leagues.
Yeah. And where was the bowling alley that you used?
In Auburn.
The Auburn Lanes?
Lanes. Yeah. I still see some people that bowl with, and they say that they're still bowling, but they have to go to Lisbon Falls now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was candle bowling.
So what other jobs did you have in the shoe shops over the years?
At Songo and Belmont. Belmont, I started stitching at Belmont. And then when I left Belmont, I went to Knapp. And there I did some vamping. Then there was, I stitch. What did I do with? I did. You can hear it.
Sorry about that, Nikki. So you were talking, you mentioned you pretty much closed down with the different shoe shops. So you would work at one and then it would start closing down and you'd go find work at another one?
Yeah, and then I left Knapp and I went to Belmont. And then I left Belmont and I went to Songo. Songo was a good place to work. They closed. And then I went downstairs to one of the shoe shops there that I'm trying to remember. They did some stitching down there. And I stitched there. I can't remember what I did over there. Must have been vamping or... because I was stitching, and that's pretty much what I did. But in a few of them, I did a lot of cripples.
And what
fix the cripples. If you have cripples, you know, it's like if there's some stitches missing or things, you repair them.
Oh, okay.
They used to call it cripples, but it's repairing the... I did that at Songo. I started some of it at Belmont, and that's what I did at Songo. Then I went to the Supreme Slippers. I did that for a while until the woman came back, and she didn't want me to do anything. So I went back to vamping.
Yeah.
Trying to think now. Then I went to Nike. Nike was a good shop to work with. I did cripples on that too, and there. Unfortunately, it didn't stay open too long.
Oh, really the Nike. Yeah. Because I didn't even know there was one here.
Yeah. It didn't last too long. I don't know if they were.
Do you know why?
I guess they were cutting down. Because they had one at in Sanford, I think. And they opened over here, but it was just, it wasn't very big.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stayed, I don't know if they, I don't think they were there. They were in Lewiston for a year. And I think now they're only up in the West somewheres. Because but they pay good and the work was good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I followed my boss because I had the same boss 3-4 places.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He would, well, one place would close and then he would go to, first thing I know, I'd go in and there he was.
Did you go through any periods of strikes?
No. No, the strikes were before. The biggest strikes, I think, in the shoe shop was in the 30s.
Yeah.
And I wasn't born then, so.
No.
I
didn't know. I thought there were possibly smaller ones.
And there were probably some smaller ones, but I never was involved in strike in the union, so. I don't think any place that I work was unionized.
So the shoe shops, they were just going out of business left and right?
Well, they were moving down south.
Yeah.
There's, was it Sanko that went to, one went to Mexico and the other one went to south, one of those islands. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's cheap. The labor was cheap. But I know of some that one company where they made pocketbooks, they went to Mexico and they were sorry they had gone there. They would have come back, but they would have been too much, I guess. But I remember hearing one of the men saying that he wished he wouldn't have never gone.
Yeah.
It's the same thing now with clothes and toys, China and Japan.
Now, were there others you worked with or bosses that you can remember and talk about a little bit?
I had Roger Martin. He was a good man to work for. He was quiet, and there was Roger Ouellette. I think he passed away. There was quite a few Rogers. It was Rod. Mm-hmm. Then the last one was Roger Netto and Roger Bussier. Roger Bussier was my foreman. He's at I think he's still there at Falcon.
Okay.
I think he's a supervisor now. And there was George Spine. I think his name was a little guy. I worked for him in a couple of shoe shops too. And they were good foremen.
Mm-hmm.
And Roland at shoe shop, I'm trying to think of. I can't see it and I can't think of the name.
Yeah.
he was foreman when I went into work and then he became the boss, I think of the name now. Superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
The super.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Falcon too. We had good bosses, and there was I liked working there, but I had to stop because I was sick. But it was hard work. We worked hard, but it was good.
So you could make your quota and get out of work early for the day, but you couldn't stay longer and earn extra. Is that how it works?
Where I'm trying to think of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they had, like I said, they set a quota, you had to do that.
Yeah.
And if you did it, you could go out. That's what we did. And we always made a little bit more so that they'd have something to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But That's some of them. Well, we had a girl that used to push. We worked on conveyors, and she used to push the work, so that's how we got out early, because the others didn't get out that early. But it was, yeah, you had to make a quota, and then you were paid. I made money there, good money, for the time now.
Right.
Now that's when you worked for 50 cents and 75 cents and a dollar an hour. But of course, things didn't cost what they cost today.
Are there any recollections you have of things that happened when you worked there? They could be, you know, were there funny jokes, were there pranksters, or anything like that?
Well, I remember when it was at, where was it that we had work? We were working, I'm trying to think now, which shoe shop it was. It was at Falcon, I think. Yeah, it was Falcon. When I'm working in the pocketbooks, the foreman comes over and he says, one of the owners says, Betty, just take your stuff and leave. So we took our stuff and we left. And we went downstairs and they told us, go across the bridge. So we had to cross the bridge and stand in the place is closed. And we're all sitting. They had a bomb threat. So George Pine was working there and he says, here I am looking all over the place. He says, he had to look around to see if everybody was out. And he walks into the cutting room and he hears a tick tock, tick tock. And he says, I almost died. Look, there was a big alarm clock somebody had. So he came, he was telling us that the next day. So they started checking because they had found a note. And so they started checking out the notes. Well, the one that did that was an idiot. He had his slip, and he had made a slip, and then he wrote that note and puts it in the same box. So when they started looking through it, they said, well, somebody had to put it in there. So they started looking through, and they saw it was the same handwriting. So he was funny. He thought it was funny, and we were all about ready to kill him. And so they gave him an escort to the door to make sure he wasn't going to come back. And there's a few other things that I can't. And then they had some people in those days, they were smoking, and somebody had left a lit cigarette, and the fire extinguishers went off. Sprinklers came in the next day to wet leather.
Oh.
We had to go through, we had to take the stock. So we had a few things that happened there.
Did any of the companies that you worked for sponsor picnics or dinners or anything throughout the year?
Nike, we had the week after Labor Day, when Old Orchard was closed, they had paid to open it, and we went there for the day, a Saturday. We spent the whole day, the one that in Sanford and the one in Lewiston, we had picnics. Other than that, I don't remember any other shoe shop having picnics.
Yeah. I just wondered. I remembered when I talked to mill workers at the Bates Mill in the heyday, they did do dinners and holiday type get-togethers.
Well, we had some holiday parties, but it was more or less a group of people that would get together and we'd go out to eat.
Right.
I remember going to Rolando's and going to different restaurants, and we were probably about 20, 30, now that we'd get together. And I'm trying to think of picnics. The only one I can remember is Nike, but the other shops, unless they had some. And Knapp Shoe used to have Christmas parties. Mm-hmm. But other than that.
Are there others that you worked with that you think would be important for us to talk to as we try to capture the history of the shoe workers?
It's a few friends that worked. I made friends with them through the shoe shop. And I know there's one. I don't know if he should. That would be maybe. I'm trying to think now. Who? Janine Roo. Uh-huh. Janine Roo. Her father-in-law was foreman at Shapiro. Janine and trying to think of other names.
Well, if you think of any, just let me know.
Yeah.
Or let Rachel know at the museum,
because
we'd love to expand our list of people. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about this, your time in the shoe shops, that you feel is important to add?
Really. Right now I can.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.